Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And John and Emily Enger are a couple of hardworking dreamers who are working to make their dreams come true in the woods of northern Minnesota. Together, they own and operate Enger Grove, which is, as they describe, an online artisanal shop where customers can find handcrafted wood items like footstools and cutting boards and butcher block islands, furniture, and even outdoor structures that are created by John with something he calls the timber frame style, which I hope you're going to describe that to me today.
Okay.
And Emily handles the online aspect of the business, promoting his functional works of art. And you also are an artist yourself. And they're in the studio now to talk more about Enger Grove. Good morning.
Good morning. Great. Hi, Katie. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Emily, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
If you could tell the journey of Enger Grove from a couple of college kids dreaming about things to parents with a life in the woods.
Sure. So we met in college, and the first time I learned that John was a woodworker is when he built me, I believe it was either a birthday present or a Christmas present. I don't remember now, but it was a little jewelry box. And, you know, it was this beautiful, handmade, small rectangle box. And I remember thinking it was just incredibly romantic. And I'd never had anybody make me something before like that. But at the time, it was just a hobby for him. It wasn't something he was pursuing seriously. But we were collaborating on a lot of other things. We're both writers. We met as English majors in college. And so we've done a lot of collaborative work together. And I always joked that we kind of work better together even than separately. And so over the years, we've actually tried other types of ways and businesses and things to do. And none of them really panned out. It was always just the wrong time, stuff like that, life stuff. And then we ended up here in Bemidji, and we ended up on a property outside of town in the woods. And about 6 months ago or so, I had stepped down from my job to be full time with our little boy. And suddenly I had time to devote to building a website and doing some more marketing stuff for him. And at the time, he was creating just a lot of products, because finally he had a wood shop for the first time in, you know, in years since he was growing up at his parents' place. And it was too much for me to handle in terms of space for our house. It got to the point where I was like begging him to not create so much stuff. I was like, we need to figure out something else, like a better solution. And so all of the, you know, the pieces just fell together. It was clearly the right time, and he had the right, you know, excitement and motivation. And so we decided to launch this business.
Right. And so, John, your style is fascinating to me. There don't seem to be any screws.
Yeah. I mean, you don't necessarily have to use fasteners if you have mortise and tenon joints and, you know, sort of, I like to use like a wedged mortise and tenon joint. So, it has no glue, it has no screws, and you don't even have to use pegs necessarily. You can have just a completely beautiful, purely wood joint using nothing but like a chisel, essentially, and a mallet. It's fantastic.
You've been working with wood since you're six, according to my research. How has this relationship with wood developed over the years? I mean, what you're doing with these joints is beautiful and
thank you.
It's almost a lost art. It's amazing.
Well, you know, it's. I was thinking about this the other day, because I've been asked a few times how things have started and evolved, but I can't actually remember a time when there wasn't woodworking in my house, because my dad was a woodworker when I was a kid. And one of my earliest memories is going into the bathroom, and the bathtub was full of water and Sitka spruce, sort of thin bits of Sitka spruce that my dad was going to bend into a canoe. And he was like, you can't touch those. They'll break. They're waterlogged. Don't touch them. But I was probably like four or five at that point. So it's sort of one of those ingrained things. So it's always been in my head. But then the last couple of years, just sort of the basic woodworking that I always did, like that jewelry box, which, by the way, I don't know if I ever told you, was just because I was completely out of money and all I had was a little chunk of Brazilian cherry that I was able to chop up on my table saw and make into a box.
That's not a surprise.
Poor college students. But in the last year, in the last few years, I've had a wood shop and also access to not just wood that you buy at the lumber yard, but full-on trees that I had to take down because they were too close together. And I started hewing them into square timbers and making timber frame structures. And once you start looking into timber frame structures, you learn all this joinery that becomes incredibly useful for furniture, too. It's designed, you know, as all things that are gorgeous, you know, form following function. And it was, you know, created over many hundreds of years of people putting together timbers into structures, and, you know, works great for furniture as well.
Hmm. And you've built boats as well. I was wondering how that process of building a boat with bowing the wood and everything has inspired your other types of woodworking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, once you figure out, the thing with building a boat is you get plans generally. I've built one boat with plans and one boat just without plans. But generally, people build them with plans, but the plans are not exact because the wood has to bend. So you have to learn how to fit exactness into inexactness, because the frames of the boat, the square frames, they're going to be exact down to the 16th of an inch. But then everything that bends, obviously, bends. It's not exact. It's the way the wood grain works. So once you learn how to create order from chaos, at that point, almost anything becomes possible with wood, because wood itself, it expands and contracts. It is chaotic. I think boat building is one of the best ways to learn how to work with wood.
Emily, how has his style changed over the years? Clearly, I would imagine the ultimate pieces are a lot better now than they were 20 years ago. But.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you talk about change, he's changed both in style and his vision as an artist, but then obviously there's the obvious growth just in skill. We talked about the first thing he ever built me. The second thing he ever made me was a rocking chair. It was not actually that long after the jewelry box. We were still in college. And it was way too tall for me, and honestly was one of the most uncomfortable things I'd ever sat in. Probably going to get in trouble for, like, airing all of his mistakes. But to my credit, I didn't say anything. You know, I was very impressed. It was beautiful. It was absolutely gorgeous, but not very comfortable. And he actually just recently redid it for me. It's kind of become a joke for us because it was something that certainly we kept, but it, like, never got used because nobody ever wanted to sit it, because he's learned so much more about furniture making. That was, like, literally the first piece of furniture he ever made. And so, you know, now he lowered it for me, because that was the biggest thing, is I'm a lot shorter than him. So it really didn't fit me. And he, you know, learned how, techniques about how to kind of scoop out a seat so it's more comfortable, stuff like that, in terms of his furniture. But also just his eye and his design has changed a lot. When I first met him, it was very, very basic. His style has always been and still is minimal, clean lines. His furniture specifically I often describe as Scandinavian because it's got that minimalist effect. But a lot of right angles. And now he has started playing around and thinking more as an artist, and I've started to see curves and different angles pop up, and he certainly thinks a lot more about color now than he used to. He's doing a lot of work that's laminated, and so he's taking different types of wood and putting them together and thinking ahead of time about how those colors would look. And before, it was kind of, he would sometimes use two different types of wood, but it would kind of be whatever he had at the time. But now that we have a business and a system and have invested in more wood and he has the materials, it's like he's been able to take the creative space to just kind of think and actually execute a vision and not just use whatever is available in the moment. And so things have become a lot more delicate. I'm even thinking of, he has this this coffee table that he did recently, and it's unlike any coffee table I've ever seen. And normally his coffee tables were kind of your stereotype that you think of, kind of a rectangle with legs. And this one is basically, I mean, it looks like a piece of driftwood. It's like this big, chunky piece of wood, and it's got some amazing formations on it that he kind of planed down, and he left the edges curved and raw, and he sat it on these kind of unique squat blocks as legs instead of four posts, and it looks like a piece of driftwood on, you know, some boulders. You look at it and you think of water, and it's just very artistic, and he's been doing a lot of stuff like that lately. So
that is Emily Anger. She's talking about her husband John's woodworking. They own Anger Grove. It's an online shop where you can find John's woodworking. And you're mentioning something that looks really raw on the edges. I'm thinking of a cutting board that I saw on your Instagram. I think it was an Instagram page. And it's like a block, but the bottom is cored out. And so it's like almost like a bridge.
Our footed cutting boards,
absolutely gorgeous. And such different, these two styles are so different.
Emily's has been talking to me about the fact that it seems like there's two lines of design that I work within. The sort of refined one, that, like you were mentioning, that looks like a bridge. That's actually what I thought of when I was making it, because it looks like, it looks very bridge-like and very delicate and sort of refined. And then there's like some of the footstools I make that are, I hesitate to use the term rustic, because they that's a separate style unto itself, but more Scandinavian kind of kind of farmhouse type of look. But I like both looks. It's fun to work with both of them.
It's been fun to see the reaction, especially to those, specifically to those cutting boards. If you go on our website, you won't find them because they're sold out, and he has to make more. But they were very popular.
You can find images on Instagram.
Yes, you can find the images if you go through our social media pages. But we actually have a waiting list of people who are wanting more of those.
So what's next? Fulfilling orders that are sitting there?
Yes, say aye. That's what we need right now.
I have few orders to do, we'll be at a couple. I think there's some events that we're doing in the future, so I need to. I also need to lathe a bunch of rolling pins, because those tend to sell out fairly quickly, and we're almost out of those, so I need to refill the coffers of those, and the cutting boards, and a few custom orders as well. I'm repairing some things for some people.
Yeah, the custom orders has been kind of a surprise for us. But as soon as we started putting our name out there and showing John stuff, and people realized that this person or this acquaintance or friend, however they're connected to us, you know, has these skills, suddenly every housewife who has a to-do list that her husband hasn't been able to do has been kind of, you know, saying, hey, is John able to take care of this? Like, she'll try.
Excellent. Yeah. That's Emily Anger. Emily and John own Anger Grove. You can check out Anger Grove Artisan Handmade Wood Products by going to angergrove.com. And you can also find them on Instagram and on Facebook. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Airy Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.